Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the lesson which you heard just a moment ago, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in a sense, every time a pastor steps into the pulpit to preach, it's a focused, climactic moment. People have come to church at an appointed time, on an appointed day, to an appointed place. The liturgy sets up the sermon. The readings begin to focus the hearer's grasp on what the preacher might say. The sermon hymn, or the choral responsory, ends. And the pastor opens his mouth to preach. In a sense, every time a pastor opens his mouth to preach, it's a focused, climactic moment. But in our text this morning, this moment is a lollapalooza. Jesus comes at an appointed day to an appointed place, as was his custom this time, the synagogue in Nazareth, where he had grown up. As far as we know, the first time back as a recognized, even very popular rabbi. He stands up to read. There's a reverent hush as he scrolls to the prophet Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He sits down. Every eye on him, the hometown boy we've now heard so much about from the surrounding regions. Everyone, they say, is rushing to him, and now he's finally come home to us. Then Jesus opens his mouth to preach. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Really? Right now? Right here in Nazareth? In our little synagogue? The prophecy of Isaiah? Really? Isaiah 61, that's about the Messiah. This is exactly what we've been wanting to hear, waiting to hear. We're poor. We're captives. We're oppressed. We need the year of the Lord's favor right now. Oh, this is so beautiful. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words which were coming from his mouth. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Today, this scripture is fulfilled, has been fulfilled? You mean that's all there is? I don't feel any different. Nothing's changed. What about all that stuff you did in Capernaum, all the miracles, the casting out all the demons? Don't we get some of that? What about some of that for us? Hey, you're just Joseph's son. You can't be the me. This can't be all about you. You can't be all the fulfillment of that scripture. Very well then. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon,
to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. And none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so they could throw him down the cliff. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing in Nazareth. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Is that all there is? Just a guy up here preaching? We're poor. We're captives. We're oppressed. We need the Lord's favor right now. Don't we? Aren't we? Like maybe oppressed by the fear that you're like the sorriest candidate ever to proclaim the good news to the poor. You're getting B pluses by the goodness of your professor's heart. And sometime pretty soon, somebody's going to entrust you with the eternal salvation of souls. Or maybe you're captive to the delusion that your A pluses are going to make you a dynamite pastor. Or maybe all those acts of mercy and love and patience that you're asked to go out and share with people have left you with nothing left in the emotional tank. So, today, you come into Cramer Chapel, and all you get is a guy up here preaching. Well, no, not really. There is that man, despised, rejected by men. Nazareth didn't quite finish the job for Jesus. He passed through the crowd and went on his way. But the day would come when his father would say, "No, this cup will not pass away." And then, all the sins that hold us captive, all the sins that cause us to fear, all the sins that have so mucked up this world that those for whom you're supposed to care are so terribly needy, were all paid for. On the cross, it is finished. But today, it is fulfilled. On the cross, Jesus reconciled the whole world to God. Finished. Done. Completely. But today, that saving work is fulfilled when you hear it. Hear the word of the Lord. It's not those B pluses charitably or more realistic C minuses that make lousy pastors. It's doing it alone. You are not alone. You are never alone. Jesus' death on the cross has taken away the sin that would have separated you, cut you off from God, so that he is always with you. You are forgiven. He is with you, Pastor. And it's not those A pluses that make you a great pastor. It's Christ being in every word you speak. He's given you his word of the cross. For the pulpit, the font, the altar, the hospital room. And that word speaks first to you. Your sin is taken away. God has forgiven you, Pastor. He gives you his word to speak. And it's not your heart, your kindness, your fortitude that lifts up those you visit. It's the heart of Christ Jesus that you take with you on that visit, the same bleeding heart that lifts you up. His heart burst for you, deaconess. He is with you. And you know he is because he's saying that to you right now, today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled, has been fulfilled. And you're hearing. In a sense, every time a pastor opens his mouth to preach, it's a focused, climactic moment. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.